still undecided what to do after your PhD or postdoc? Stay in academia or go to the private sector? And what if one does not exclude the other? In this Women in Science episode, we show you that this is possible. Welcome everyone to the 11th episode of the LIMES Women in Science podcast. Here we talk to interesting women, men and non-binary scientists about their careers, life, ups and downs in order to inspire our fellows to find their own path, either in or outside academia. My name is Katarzyna Placek. I am a junior group leader at the Life and Medical Sciences Institute of the University of Bonn. Today our guest is Dr. Laura Surace, the Max Eder Group Leader at the Institute for Clinical Chemistry and Clinical Pharmacology of the University Hospital Bonn, a recipient of prestigious Marie Curie Fellowship and STEP program for young PIs, but also a startup founder. Laura, you are the example of the scientist of tomorrow, with international experience, one foot in academic research, one in doing business, and what's more, a female! Happy to have you in our podcast. Can you tell us how did it happen that you chose to be a scientist?
Yeah, that I think happened long ago. Actually, during high school, I started to learn a little bit about, actually through the professor of religion, which, you know, I barely was following this class. And then one day she started to talk about genetics and how this would impact our society. And so there I was curious about this question, and I started to understand why there was such a buzz about this and what was actually implying for us as a human being. And then from there, I actually read a lot of books, a lot of stuff online, and I realized that I was super passionate about it. I liked always science and biology, but I wasn't sure about exactly what I liked. And then I figured that it was a biology focusing more on the human being, or like how our body functions. And then I would say that from there it started, I never went back. So this is how I kind of decided to take this path. Yeah.
Very interesting, from religion to science.
Yeah, I mean, let's not put it in this term because I want to die inside. But besides any joke, I think, you know, as long as you stay open to learn from anything that surrounds you, also the stuff that maybe you don't super like, then of course anything can give you an input, right?
So definitely, you know. Knowing what you don't like also helps to make yeah. choices, right?
Totally.
You are the successful recipient of the Max Eder Grant from the Deutsche Krebshilfe. Can you tell us what kind of funding it is and how to obtain it?
Sure. So it's a grant that is available for postdocs that have finished the PhD not more than, if I'm not wrong now, 7 years. And so there is an age limit that is 35 years old, but the guidelines change
every year.
Not every year, but very frequently. So at least they've changed in the last 2 years. So always keep an eye on it. But there is the website in English and in German. Which was a nice surprise. And so this grant is basically giving fundings for 4 years to start your own lab, and then it gives you enough to also hire people. And so it's a kind of a starting grant, like is also the ESC. The specific thing of the Krebshilfe is of course focused on cancer, and so the project has to be project that is a translational idea that can actually cover not only basic biology but also can be envisioned as a clinical project. So I would say that this is the core of the grant. Mm-hmm. And then to apply is submitting a project with a detailed plan and a detailed timeline and how we would imagine to handle a lab. So if who we would like to hire, why, and for what. So these are the things that somebody has to prepare in advance, not only have an amazing idea, but also try to think exactly how practically you would realize it, and is it relevant, and do like 4 years allow me to actually fulfill what I'm promising.
And I think it is bound to the institution that you already know your institution, or where you would
this
like
is
to...
this is not necessarily true. Okay. So you can actually it's of course an advantage if you already have a clear plan and if you already have an institution that supports you. So at the end you're gonna need the support of an institution, but you can also start writing, start thinking about it, and then in the course of the writing and the application you can find for and like an institution that supports you for that.
Yeah, cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what is this, what is the scientific question that you would like to answer as a group leader?
Yeah, this is actually a fusion project because it comes from two of the, let's say, areas that I was interested during my PhD and postdoc. So during my PhD, I was more focused on cancer and cancer immunology. And then I transitioned more in studying how being a biochemist by like training, I started to get more interested into how really from a biochemical standpoint, the immune system would kind of readjust and react to specific environment with a specific focus on innate immune system. Now, the idea behind the grant is to understand how, let's say, if we look at a tissue that normally you would expect to have its own physiology and metabolic health, then how does it allow having also an immune system that is already sitting there and being aware of what's happening in the surrounding, how does it allow for a tumor to grow? So tumor onset and tumor develop from a standpoint of immune resident cells that actually are also sensing possibly the host metabolism and lifestyle. And I'm talking now specifically about innate lymphoid cells that are this subclass of cells that do not have an antigen receptor, so they are like T cells but not really, and so not much is known about these cells, but we know that they are actually sitting in tissues, they are very potent sensors and cytokine producers. So the idea behind the grant is to understand how these cells that sense the tissue behave when a tumor develops, and then also how they do react when we have metastatic process. So do these cells play a role, and if they do, do they sense host metabolism, and do any dietary changes or lifestyle changes influence tumor growth or influence tumor response in terms of immune system anti-tumoral response?
Translational aspect would be harnessing the cells, or maybe modulating
modulating anti-tumor response via dietary intervention, if this is relevant. So these are all long-standing questions in the tumor field, because lots has been done, but lots has not really has been understood. So I think there is so much we can do, and so many questions that are open, especially in the context of anti-tumor immune responses. So I think I would say that especially when it comes to tissue now, with the technology that we have, we can really interrogate what is happening at the in the specific areas of the tissue. And I think this is the point we were missing for a long time, because we are always looking at the whole, so extracting a tumor or looking at a meshed tissue, but what we never looked at, how cells behave there and then when everything happens.
Special and I think temporal aspect.
Exactly. So this is what I want to tackle and see whether, you know, the metabolic angle as a relevance, because of course, I mean, the tumor is a bomb of metabolic changes, and so this I don't have probably to explain, but I think it's a really interesting way to look at the problem. So
it's a very interesting and also very important question. And so, guys, Laura is hiring postdocs and PhDs.
Yeah, so. If you wanna come, please send me an email.
We will provide it in the link for the podcast. Yes, you are also the recipient of the STEP program from the University of Bonn. Can you tell us a little bit what kind of benefits this program offers and also how to approach to obtain it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the STEP program is, I would say that the easiest way to look at it is a bridging opportunity that allows to go from to transition in your career. So if you are a postdoc and you're still applying, so you are in this phase in which you are not meat and you are not fish. Mm-hmm. So I would say that if you want to acquire a little bit more independence, of course, having your own grant or your own fellowship always helps. Also for you to train a little bit putting out your ideas. Yeah, so I think that the STEP program offers this opportunity. So it's a much smaller grant than what maybe you would encounter later, but already asks you to write a proposal, to write an idea, and to basically support yourself. So the STEP program gives you your salary, mm-hmm. and then you have to be integrated in a group, but at the end of the day, what matters is that you can already invest your time on yourself, writing grants, but also, let's say, producing your preliminary results. So investing on your future. And I think that's the most important part of the STEP program, if properly used, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's the overall idea. It brings you or it accompanies you towards the transition.
And I think the important point of the program is that it is targeted at females, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I forgot to say.
No problem.
The STEP program is specifically designed to support the women in science. So that's also a great thing. So I would say that's very important.
So you came a long way to Germany from south of Italy via Switzerland and France. Why you chose Germany and will you stop here?
Yeah, I mean, that's the favorite question of my mother. I mean, is this the end of your traveling? But I mean, as a scientist, I would say that you never know, but where the future brings you. But
research brings you.
Yeah, exactly. Where the research brings you. But at the end of the day, I have to say that although it has been tough and challenging to always change environment, it has been at the same time so enriching that looking back, I tell myself, moving again and leaving your friends and family behind is always tough. I mean, especially for Italians. No, but I mean, besides the joke, I think that this is something that I always recommend to everybody, because also if you at the moment don't appreciate it, because it's a tough time, then you really realize that changes like your world so much that then going back, you know, you probably wouldn't do that. So, to regards to Germany, I mean, I think the choice was a mix of personal and career. So on the personal side, with my partner, we were thinking he's also a scientist, and we were both postdoc in France, and so we were both finishing, and we were both evaluating whether our choice was academia or company. And I was 100% sure for academia, I was more sure about the company. And so the idea was, let's find a place that grants us to fulfill our dreams in terms of career planning, to the both, you know, that both of us have this opportunity. And I think that at the moment, at least where we looked mostly in Europe, so mm-hmm. we weren't really looking into moving to the States. The countries that, in our opinion, give this opportunity more frequently are probably like France, Germany, Switzerland. So we started to look and we told each other, okay, as soon as we find a feasible option, we move. And actually, Germany was the most responsive country in this sense. And so I think that this, let's say, personal/career aims that we had brought us here at the end.
That's cool, yeah. That you can actually fulfill both private and...
No, that we were super lucky. Mm. I mean, lots of people do not manage because it's always tough to combine, especially if you are two scientists that then... So, but I think that if you try enough, you know, maybe at some point it comes.
Yeah, so after moving so much, I guess you are immunized to any cultural shock so far. But what surprised you in Germany was still something surprising.
Yeah, of course. There is no immunization. I mean, forget about it. Everywhere an Italian go finds always something to be like, you know, oh my gosh, they really do that. Nah, so what the list is very long.
Okay. The most important.
I don't know. I have to say that I'm still trying to figure out the German culture, so it's tough for me to really pin it down to certain factors. But I find myself like a little bit left in an odd space of wondering whether it's me or it's them. but I have to say that besides the stereotypes and everything that I would say it's in every country, I would say that it's overall okay for the moment. I mean, it's okay, I'm surviving.
Good. So what are the main differences in academic system in all the countries that you have experienced? What did you like and what could you imagine to implement in Germany, for example?
I'm not yet super familiar with the German system since I'm here only for 2 years now. And so I'm learning and I'm also transitioning through career path. So I'm also learning how different it is from step to step. So what I can definitely say is give an opinion about how is to be maybe a PhD or a postdoc in the different systems that I have seen so far. That would be basically the Swiss system and the French system. I have to say that I did my PhD in Switzerland. I liked a lot the structure they had around the PhD students in terms of grad school and really like the PhD were accompanied through their let's say paths in terms of trainings, in terms of support, and also let's say in a daily basis. Yeah. And this I really didn't see it here, or maybe, you know, grad schools, there are grad schools in Germany. I would maybe really make them as a gold standard of university, because I think that giving a context to a PhD and inserting him or her in a certain pool of other PhD students helps also mentally to approach the career. As a postdoc, I think that there now the needs changes, because of course you are transitioning and navigating through science in a very, in a totally different way. So of course you need also there a support system, but it's a little bit different. So you are already experienced enough to see science with your own perspective. And what I liked in France for postdoc is that you are already seen as a professional. So then basically you are already in your context, not as somebody that depends from somebody else, but you have a certain degree of independence also as society sees you. And I'm not sure how it is here, honestly, but definitely this is something that if it empowers you as professional, and it gives another sense to the job itself. So I think these are the two aspects that I liked in these places. For example, there are also transitioning paths that I think are also great. And this I've seen it mostly in Switzerland and also partly in France. So for example, if you want to transition in academia in France, you can apply for these CAR, that are these charges de recherche in the context of different institutions, and that allows you basically not to become directly a PI, but to be something in between and have a position that grants you to be in science.
Like a group leader.
It's like a group leader, but...
is still with like an indeterminate contract, mm-hmm. And also you are attached to a more senior group leader, and this allows you also to train a little bit what it means to be a group leader, and so to train your skills of manager. And in Switzerland they have something similar, that is this kind of lab manager that is not intended as like a super technician or a super postdoc, but it's really like an assistant of the professor. So it's a kind of a assistant professor that it's a position that you can have still attached to a big boss, that allows you to actually get in touch with this for being or having your own group. And then you can basically from this position go farther and have your own group and create your own lab. So I think that for a postdoc, you know, jumping directly to be a group leader is always a big step, mm-hmm. and this and if you want to stay in academia, it's very tough also to make this transition. So having this kind of facilitation or kind of in between positions mm-hmm. help you also to mature and to have a new perspective, and also to face the job with a different preparation. So I think these are the aspects that I would keep in mind, you know, and mm-hmm. I don't know if they are already in place here in Germany, but if they are not, I think they really are a good addition into mm-hmm. Into the university context.
And did you see any differences in women situation in academia between the countries, and what do you think are the biggest challenges for women in academia?
So I mean, to answer the first question, I think among all the different countries, of course, the situation changed a lot in history, right? Mm-hmm. So we are already looking at an historical point that is much more, let's say, easy for women if we compare it to, like, you know, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But said that, of course, if we compare different countries, what I had the feeling the most, let's say, open in this term, or like open, or where I saw that there is a little bit more in place for women, but that it's actually in place, not only like as
on
a written, yes, not on paper, but really it's, I saw it in France a lot. Switzerland, or at least when I was there, it was moving in that direction, but of course now we are talking about some years ago, so then maybe the situation has changed, I have no clue, but when I was there, Switzerland was still in the transition, while when I moved to France, I saw a really also society-wise, it's much more liberal, and women and men have like very comparable rights and spots in society, which is not always, of course, reflected, but somehow you feel empowered as much as a man. So when you're walking around, so this, I think it's probably France will transition quicker towards a good solution. It's true that I was in Paris, so then being in a big city, of course, has an impact. So if you evaluate everything, I would say that, yes, there is a big city vibe, but the French society or the French culture, I think, is not that oppressive for women. So I think that that is to be appreciated for that system. And here, I mean, in general, in science, there are lots of challenges for women, and to basically put together a path, a career path that bridges whatever is your personal life and your professional life, mm-hmm. is doable. Is something that, of course, is doable. It's just that that needs a little bit more thought than what maybe a man would have to think about right at the moment. Said that, I think that more and more instruments to deal with that, so to develop yourself as in your personal life and the rest are more and more coming. So I think it's just to be a little bit strong and independent in your mind to really profit from this system and try to make a difference also, like if it's not yet common. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you are not only a successful researcher, but also a founder of a startup. Can you tell us what NAOS Communication is?
Yes. So actually NAOS Communication started around the beer when we realized that actually nevertheless scientists at every level were still like, you know, trained to give talk or to talk to peers. They were still not doing a great job in all the cases, yeah. So we all know that there are presentations that can blow your mind, that are really very well done, and speakers that they can really convey a message. And on the other hand, there are people that, although maybe they have very smart thoughts or maybe very, like, you know, a great project, they just are simply not trained enough, or they don't have it in them to actually communicate it efficiently. And so at that time I was wondering, but how is that possible that after you are 30 years in this career and you give presentation at every conference, still you cannot give a decent presentation or stay in time or talk with people? And so I started to actually think more about it, and then I was lucky to meet two great people that are like Benjamin Thero and Clarane Marchetti, that are two professionals in the communication aspect of, like, they have as a profession, one is an actress and a director, stage director, and the other one is a live streamer and more into the social media.
So nothing to do with science.
Nothing to do with science, actually. We met exactly as a first chance, because Paris, if you go out and you grab a beer, you meet people. And so we actually, this encounter with me complaining about the different problematic of presentations in science and them being receptive on the matter, then we came up with actually an idea to combine art and science to actually bridge together these two apparently opposite fields, and to bring to scientists actually the art of speaking, writing, and using graphics, and to let them actually profit from this instrument to spread the word, basically to bring science not only to peers, I mean, this is one possibility, but also to people's home. So then at the end of the day, now as an aim, you know, to empower scientists in their communication skills. So that's the general aim. And then whatever public is in front of you, that you are ready to deal with this situation. Yeah. So we just give you the tools to basically make it possible.
So how do you manage to have basically two jobs?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I mean, once you find a great team, it doesn't feel like you have two jobs, because in the years, so now started in 2018. And so in all this year, we really managed to attract super, like, good people and very, like, great professionals that in the field of exactly writing or like graphics. And the team grew. Now we are 7 people.
Nice.
Involved. And I have to say that the art of mastering juggling different things is in to trusting the people you work with and delegate. And so the moment that you are confident that those people believe in your dream and in your aim as much as you believe, and they would do the stuff as good as you would do, because it's also their baby, yeah? At the end of the day, then you feel comfortable on sharing this dream with others, and then the weight becomes much lighter, because at the end of the day, it's a little bit the work of everybody to bring it forward. And I would say that since we started in this new conformation, then my duties, like, really, are much more, like, you know, lighter than before. Mm-hmm. Of course, I invested a lot the first 2 or 3 years to create, you know, a kind of pillow that if we fall, we are safe. But then now I would say that is a rolling machine that goes by itself. So now it's easy to combine. I don't know if it would have been possible to have to start it now and also, like, you know, starting a lab. This I'm not sure, but I'm lucky, or I'm glad I did it back then, because that was, you know, serendipity. Everything aligned, all the planets, everybody was there. So I think, you know, it's a little bit of luck too, of course.
So would you say that the recipe for success is the team and timing?
team, timing, luck. I mean, you know, you have to be smart to catch the right occasion, you know. So you have to be there. So you have to live the moment, and then sometimes you risk it. I mean, I didn't know that Benjamin or Clara would be the people I would work with. I just liked the way they thought. You know, they were thinking about stuff in a way that it was like new for me. I was really attracted by their minds. And so that's why I kind of, I was hooked. So, and I think that when somebody inspires me, that's the kind of like personalities that you should keep close, because then you will always learn something.
Definitely.
So yes, team, the moment, so the timing, and also a little bit of you know, grain in your brain, like, you know, brain power to really focus on the stuff that matters to you.
And now you're building another team to do research. I hope it will work as good as the startup.
Yes. Yes, so let's hope so. I mean, in science, the dynamics are a little bit different, I have to say. But yeah, I mean, we have now two PhD positions open, and soon also two postdocs position. And so I really, really hope that I can put together a team that has fun working together, and that really can bring forward the concept of the lab. And so already, if we can do that, I feel super grateful and very happy. And I think that when you work in this context, then results come, you know, like the things roll. I have seen it with NAUS, and that is, it's a different topic, but it's exactly the same in science. So once the team finds the right, you know, path and the right speed, and everybody has his own spot and everybody feels comfortable,
Then it rolls,
you know, and then you are there sitting and said, look at that.
Amazing. What did I do?
Actually, it's not you. I mean, you know, that's the thing. And then you realize that I did just a little bit, but then look at them, you know. And I think that was the most when I really felt more satisfied, when I was sitting in a hall, like in a study room. And we were giving a training in Spain to PhD students that were actually hoping to become startuppers, yeah? And so I saw the team actually dealing with this training like completely by themselves, you know? They were actually reorganizing, rescheduling, reshuffling students, and talking with the organizers, and I was there looking at all this and looking at the spectacle, like, you know, somebody that was there to support, you know. I was saying hi from far away, but actually I wasn't needed, and in that moment it felt great, you know, like I really felt that's really nice. That's my team.
And I wish it happens also to your new
I
team.
Hope so too. Yeah. Yes, I hope so. Fingers crossed.
So Laura, what are your like the nearest plans and long-term projects?
Well, I mean, the nearest plan, or that in the near future, I'm really hoping to put together the team and get started in terms of really, like, you know, it's a super exciting adventure, and I think finding the people that you're gonna work with is really something that, I don't know, back then it really excited me a lot. So I'm really looking forward to find the right people. So this would be the next step right away. And then, of course, I mean, so this is in science, I would say. Then the plan is just to basically move on with the projects and see where they lead us. Yeah. So this would be academic wise and personal wise. I mean, I've always also wanted a family, so of course it's something that is there in my mind, and so I hope that this also becomes possible. And as I said before, it's something that I think that we are now in a society that allows you to actually juggle both things. And so I would say that the plan is to go on with not only my work life, which is on the right path, I hope so, but also with my private life. And so now moving to Bonn, and then you know, one step at a time.
Cool. Thank you, Laura. And now I have a surprise for you. Surprise short questions.
Yeah.
Where the first answer is expected. So I will just shoot you with them, okay?
Please.
Limoncello or schnapps?
Limoncello.
Mouse research or human research?
No, that's different. No, human. I mean, you know, I'm a human immunologist, so I mean, you know, then human. I would say human.
South or north?
South. I mean, that's actually, you can delete this question. It's not fair.
PhD or postdoc?
I mean, what is a question? I don't know. I mean, PhD.
Okay. Academia or private sector?
Academia, the whole life.
Ice cream or hot chocolate?
Ice cream.
Adaptive immunity or innate immunity?
Innate.
Paris or Zurich?
Well, sorry Zurich, but Paris.
Epigenetics or metabolism?
Metabolism.
Mountains or the sea?
Well, I mean, I come from the sea.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laura, for taking your time and for your answers and all the energy. We wish you all the best. Finger crossed for
the new position. Thank you very much. It was a really nice experience.
Awesome. Thank you. And we see you around in Bonn.
Yes.
The music for our podcast was composed and performed by Dr. Klaus Wunderling and Professor Aliona Kmelinskaya.